I don't know which party my wife belongs to, but she belongs to my kitchen and my living room and the other room.
The other room is back! Yes, the show is back. Thank you all who stayed with the show previously, who kept updated with us, who listened and who contributed and who joined the very lovely feminist community. We are sorry that we left you. Well, not us. I mean, we're in the host, but we are happy to be back. We are happy that the show is running now. And, you know, some things have changed, some things not so much. This is going to be sisterly feminist conversations that will be ongoing. For this season, wait for it, this season, we are calling it the unhinged season. And I don't have to define what unhinged means. Like,
Google it.
You know. They don't even have to Google. I mean, they know, right? So we are going to be spicy. We are going to be saucy. We are going to be totally, totally unhinged. We are going to say it as it is. We are going to give it to you raw. We are going to, you know, delve into all the important feminist conversations, all the conversations about women, self-identifying women, everything that goes into the nooks, how do the nooks and crannies. Ah, crannies. See, bro, it's not our first language. You know, the nooks and crannies of women's issues, the left, the right, the center, the bottom, the north, east, and south, everything. And like I mentioned, it's going to be a series of conversations with feminist women. You may see me today, tomorrow you won't see me. You may see Shishi today, tomorrow you'll not see her. We're just going to be coming in and out, bringing you very sassy, very unhinged, very, I don't even want to use the word outrageous, but very outrageous women are going to be on this show. So stay with us. The season is unhinged season, where we bring you all the topics raw, very uncooked. Today, I am with Chichi Boham. Chichi is a feminist activist. And Esla. And Esla is a social productive health and rights activist. Today, we are going to be talking about, and listen, like I said, spicy. So, you know, what spicy way to bring you in than to talk about women, sex, and pleasure, and how we can lose the shame. So we are going to be talking all about women's sexuality, women's pleasure, getting into all of the shame around women's sexuality and how we can do away with that. Before I go in, Chichi, how are you?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Is there anything you want to say?
Welcome. Please. I feel like she said all the nice things, but then we have to give you a warning. If you're fragile, this is not for you.
Pack up, pack up.
If you want to learn, this is for you. If you want to unlearn, this is for you. This podcast, even though it's centering women, is for everybody. Because as much as it is about the lives of women, we live in proximity to the other gender. So listen, learn, do better. Thank you.
Esla.
Were you lying? Did I lie?
No, you didn't. Absolutely not. Esla. What they said. See, okay. That's all she needed to say. And my name is Abena Beniwa. I am a feminist activist. And like I mentioned earlier, today I'm doing this with Chichi and Esla. Listen, so for me, yeah. I'm not going to mention the age I became sexually active, but from the day I became sexually active and for like a couple of years after that, I was having sex, right? And there were very often times I wasn't coming and I felt there was something wrong with me. So like my partner and I did everything. Everything we needed to do, and I'm a heterosexual woman, which means I date men and I have sex with men. So, you know, we tried everything, and I realized that when it was just penetration, I wouldn't come. I mean, I knew I could orgasm because, you know, I mean, we're both virgins and we didn't just start having sex. You know, we're touching each other, you know, doing this, doing that. And I was orgasming, right? So I knew I could come. But when we actually started penetrative sex, I realized that when it's just that, I wouldn't come. So at that point, I was like, wait, there's something wrong with me. So I had to like try to figure things out, and I wasn't figuring it out, right? And I didn't communicate this to anyone. So this was in my head, trying to, you know, and how can I ask anybody, right? I mean, we don't have that culture.
But you didn't think to tell the other person?
No.
Wow.
I didn't, right? Okay. So it went on for a while. So, you know, my curiosity, you know, in trying to figure out what was happening to me led me into finding out that not all women orgasm through penetration only. And I'm like, whoop,
this is new information.
I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me, right? So I'm just thinking about how many years it took for me. And I am not conservative. At least I consider myself not conservative.
You aren't.
But we do have to repeat that.
I'm sorry.
Like, go ahead. I am not conservative, but I kept this with me for years. So I figured it out myself. Like, I read online, listened to podcasts. No, not podcasts. I didn't even know what podcasts were. That would be a lie. You know, like YouTube videos and stuff. And I found that out.
They were the podcasts of our time.
Right. It's true. Everything was YouTube. So now, like, I am thinking, why is shame around women's sexuality so pervasive to the point that even I, who thinks I'm progressive and out there, would keep something like that to myself?
It's purity culture. We live in a society where a woman's sexuality is taboo. Don't get me wrong. If you were a man, completely different conversation, because men are encouraged to own their sexuality, to talk about it, to express it, to be irresponsible with it.
Yeah.
A woman's sexuality has been a taboo. You're supposed to not talk about sex, not have sex, but be able to give it to a man whenever he wants for some weird reason.
Be a lady on the streets and a slut in the sheets.
But then also be a virgin.
Nah, but even in the sheets, it don't have to be too slutty.
It don't have to be too slutty.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, to be pure, but I should know how to do shit. But don't do it past this level. Or like, no, where did you learn?
Don't upstage your male part. Can I just say, being a heterosexual man is the ghetto. And then, because I know the queer, they don't have this problem.
I was I was having a discussion on a TV show, and the lady said she was talking to one of her friends, and her friend said that if you are a woman who is like very experienced sexually, the first few times you meet a new guy, the first few times you have sex, you shouldn't show everything.
Why?
Else I would be scared and he would feel like you've done too much. Like, how do you have all these skills? It means you've gone round.
Also, I kind of agree with her. Let me tell you why. For totally different reasons. Because, first of all, I believe that as a woman, why are you pleasing a man who hasn't pleased you?
Okay, now I agree with you.
No, but let's just say the pleasing is mutual.
I mean, if he's doing everything that he needs to do, why are you hiding it? I'm sorry, but like, if a man's ego or if he becomes insecure because you actually know what you're doing in bed, you're not supposed to be fucking that man.
Yeah.
True.
Because why are you insecure? Sorry, go ahead.
Like, from what you were saying, there's this culture. Like, we expect women to be pure and holy, but then we expect them to be like, to be whores in the sheets. Now, if you want someone to know how to do things, they have to do the things.
Experience.
Like, so how do you expect her to be a lioness in the bed when she's a cub in the streets? Like, the prayer of cubs, if you want her to know how to do things, she should be like fucking people. And if she's fucking people, then the experience comes in. But then it's like, we're on imshi. Like, she doesn't know how to do anything. But I was listening to this. You know how straight men talk about sex like it's every like football?
Yeah.
And it's like, she won't even bend down. Dog in the crow, me, your home, me, I'm from. Like, you get that kind of.
How will I know how to doggy?
If I am not doggy.
Exactly. No, but that's the thing, though. So, you see, the men who say that, right? Because I know, like, there are people who learn their partner. I mean, experience comes from learning, right? one has more experience, maybe two people don't have experience. I know a guy who was a virgin for a very long time, and he would read about it. Yeah, so he had the knowledge before he actually
knew
the theory.
Yeah,
you know. And then there are women like that, like they read about stuff. Like me, I read about everything before I do it. That's my own.
Yeah,
do you understand? I read and then I practice and then I become perfect.
Yeah,
but you see, when you're saying that your partner doesn't know how to do this, your partner doesn't know how to do that, but then when they do it and they do it better than you, you get scared. You have a problem.
So I feel like
it's not on the woman.
Yeah, I feel like it's not about her knowing how to do it better than him. It's about how did you come by these experiences as a woman?
The same
how do you know how to bend over this way? How do you know how to contort your body?
How do you know how to lick me here and hold me there and make me quiver, right? It means you've been sleeping with other men.
But
if you don't know what to do today, tell a woman, they come and lay down and they do not. What do you want from us?
No, but here's the thing though. You've also been sleeping with other women.
But you see, that's the thing. Men and boys are buying goods. Boys aren't promiscuous. It's girls. Yeah. Like, so and it's our everything, sexuality,
purity culture,
is in relation to men, if you've realized. Like, you can only do this as far as men allow. Let me give you an instance. If I go to the beach and I'm wearing, like, I'm fully clothed from, like, here to here, they're like, that's a prudish girl going about. You are the fucking beach. Wear a bikini.
Yeah.
Should I wear a bikini on the streets? You're a whore. Why are you wearing a bikini on the streets? No one is bothered by that dressing. They are bothered that I would arouse a man and then make him rape me. So, like, everything that we do, whether like sexuality, our pleasure, is in relation to how much men are willing to tolerate. So that if you know how to do these things, as far as you can do it to this extent that I approve of, then we are good. The second you begin to do a little bit more, like, I like it, but I didn't teach you that. So in this context, not allowed. So it's like you are only allowed to be sexual as far as the man in question allows or deems appropriate. Mm. So like anytime you are in a new relationship, you have to relearn where the parameters are. Yeah. So like, I don't pass here.
Can I say something? Zoom in a little. If you're listening to me, if ever you meet a man like that, stop fucking. Doesn't deserve your vagina.
Yeah.
Trust me.
What she said.
If a man can't make you come,
no.
It's a no. If a man can't tolerate, it's not even tolerate, if a man can't be happy with you fully existing in your sexuality, big no.
A man is insecure about his skills, his bed.
You know how Cardi B says, broke men don't deserve no pussy? It's insecure men don't deserve no pussy.
True.
Also and I know that's right. But I just wanted to, you know, quickly highlight what Esla was saying, that, you know, women's sexuality has for the longest time and for even from time immemorial been tied to men's approval, men's will. And that's why I always say that women's sexuality is political.
Baby.
Like it's been weaponized. It's been used as a tool for power.
Yes.
It's like, okay, we put you here. We have this power over you. And that's why practices like female genital mutilation exist, like breast ironing exist, because men know the power of women's sexuality. They know how women can be if they're allowed to exist freely in their sexuality. So they've been constantly trying to tame it. And that's why I keep saying women's pleasure is very political. Like, you have to be able to happily and confidently and you know, very freely exist in your sexuality. But again, like we've said, there's so much shame around our sexuality. And that centers around purity culture. You know, we're supposed to dress a certain way so we don't arouse men. You're supposed to speak a certain way so you don't make men feel this way. And it's crazy to me that all of this is centered around men. And these are the people who can't even make us come.
Can I also add that another reason why this is a thing is so that women wouldn't know that part of the autonomy they have is sexual autonomy.
True.
Because if you're raised to believe that everything about your sexuality has to has to be for and about men, then men own your body.
Yeah.
You get it? They're allowed, they can commodify you. So you find women commodifying themselves for men because they feel like, because that is the norm. They can take, that's why we have narratives like, popped her cherry, took her virginity.
Yeah. Almost all the language around sex is violent against women.
Yeah.
Like, atropam,
is men. Yeah. So it's robbing women of their sexual autonomy and giving all that power to the men. Yeah. That is why sexual harassment is such a norm.
True.
Because a guy would touch you and go like, oh. And then everybody, men, women, will look at you and go like, a guy would catcall you and then you would be offended by it.
This happened to me on Sunday. A guy, I was walking to go buy something at a filling station, and then I'm walking back and I'm wearing really tiny shorts as per this. And then I'm tall, so it looks good. And then this guy sees me. And then
I like that part. It looks good.
Of course.
Looks for days.
He begins to like cat call me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't have to respond. So I don't. But I just keep walking. I don't even flinch. Mm-hmm. And then he's mad. He's legit angry and he can shout after me.
Like, you're here for his pleasure.
Like, I don't know you. You don't know me. Like, I'm literally someone just passing by going there somewhere. And he was insulting me, shouting at me, insulting me. I'll be fighting here. Which I'm like,
it's the entitlement.
I don't know you.
Because he feels entitled to your body.
He feels like your body exists as an object of my pleasure. So at any time when I call, you should respond. Yeah. So he doesn't understand why I have the right to not respond. Yeah. But he doesn't understand that I have that right.
Yeah.
And it's because that's how it is. Like growing up, we let boys express themselves. Yeah. If you hear that boys and girls are doing things in the corner somewhere, it's always the girl doing fighting.
True.
Things.
Yes.
True.
Even in the Bible, adultery, it takes two to tango. But they stole the woman. That was the man.
Yeah.
She wasn't dealing with herself.
Yeah.
So it's like every time it's like women are an object to fulfill this particular role. You fulfill it well, we move. You do it too well, problem.
Yeah.
You do it a little under problem. As long as you satisfy us, we move. Don't overdo it, don't underdo it.
Exactly.
And it's annoying because why do you have to exist and be doing extra math? Like, you are doing extra math apart from like your regular, I have to eat, sleep, drink, all those like biological things. You have to be doing 1.2% of whore today.
How can I be a hoe but not too hoe?
Yeah, but not too hoe, but like hot, but like.
How can I be decent, but not too good, considering
how inconsistent that gender is, nothing is ever good enough, like, right?
And for me, it's always shifting.
And for me, it's also about what one thing that stands out for me is how this erases queer women.
That's why they hate queer women.
So, Esla,
let's continue.
What I was saying?
No, it's like, okay, so if women exist for the pleasure of men, why are you not doing that? Why are you deviating?
There's a dynamic to this thing that I have realized. Maybe it's just me who they try to oversee. But you see, like we said, women's sexuality exists in relation to men in our society. It shouldn't be that way, but that's how it is. And then men find two women sexy, which is why I have had men tell me that if they came home and met their girl with another man in the bed, they'll be furious. That was another woman will take off their clothes and join.
Yeah.
Problematic one. What if the woman is gay, not bi? Two, what if she wants to fuck you in particular? Like, she saw you and saw the girl and bypassed the event to the girl.
Yeah.
So why do you think that you are welcome into the bed? So it's like, they are okay with you being queer or being a lesbian as long as there's a possibility that they will get to eat you, which is very problematic. I'm not queer either. Another thing to realize is this. If maybe take there are 10 heterosexual men and 9 find out that you are a lesbian, No, hook me with your boyfriend, say. Hook me with your boyfriend, say. I'm like, whether a woman is bisexual or heterosexual, she's still a woman. Why do you need that bisexual element? What? Like, it's like they only see you as, again, a thing for their pleasure.
Yeah.
Because it means threesome fee pie.
Yeah,
that, that's the mentality. True, some feet pie. So even in the,
already you can't please one woman. You want to add.
So even in spaces where, for lack of a better expression, men aren't allowed, where like pleasure exists without them or without their influence, they're trying to put it like you get. They want to be there. They're like, as long as you are a lesbian, doing lesbian things for me to see, for me to like, no problem.
Yeah.
But the second you tell them that it's, I like you, or like I don't like you, I'm gay. So like, I don't hate you, but I don't like you like that because I'm gay or like, then they have a problem.
That's when they say, they'll sex you into being straight. Like women who exist for your penis only, you can't please
you
them.
You can't please them. Like, why do you think? You,
why do you think? It's a lesbian.
There's no way we're all looking to the camera.
Like, the
that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Because, first of all, these people don't enjoy things with, like, normal heterosex. And then you can't even do the heterosex one. They want to come in, hey.
Yeah, bro.
Osage for
yeah, bro. Anyways. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. This is the reason why, within the queer community, they might hate homosexual men, but they can tolerate homosexual women because they feel like it's for their pleasure. Even if they're not going to participate, the fact that they see women's bodies, they see women as objects for their pleasure, watching it.
They can come off watching lesbian porn.
Of another angle to this that I don't know if someone told me I realized, but another thing too is why men don't like homosexual men.
I can tell you that.
Why men don't like homosexual men. One of the angles is that, like we said, women exist as things for men's pleasure. I'm literally like, do you understand?
Yeah.
And so they don't understand why you as a man, like, so you see,
wants to be.
So in their heads, if you are gay, there's the Oba gay and the Bema gay.
Mm.
So why are you, who is supposed to be an imposing figure, being like over women,
it threatens their masculinity.
And for them to be a woman is derogatory.
There's a problem with that. If you are truly heterosexual, okay, you shouldn't care because you and the man are in no competition.
True.
He doesn't like women at true. All. Like, he shouldn't be your friend because he can give you.
He has girlfriends.
Like, they need you to keep that toxic masculinity.
Why do you feel threatened by a man being homosexual? Like, because you're not homosexual too.
No, because they see womanhood as an insult to them. True. They see women as derogatory. It's derogatory.
So you are not being in the narrative of lesbian lords. Yeah. Like, why are you being the subject?
Exactly. You are deviating.
Which is problematic because, again, the ideas of how relationships should be are too set in stone for many
true.
People.
True.
Like, the people assume once people are in a same sex relationship, there's
heteronormativity.
Like,
we import that heteronormativity into queer relationships.
And they are crazy. There are feminine men who date each other, two femme women who date each other. Like,
we should table this as a topic for discussion. Like, it's so important. And I like that we brought it into this topic. Producer, please put this down for us. Next topic. I don't know the title yet, but we are going to be talking about. Yes.
Why are you worried about gay people?
If you are not a homosexual man, why should that man's homosexuality be studying you?
Why is your masculinity threatened?
Yeah.
By a man being feminine. I thought you were a man and didn't give a shit.
Right.
Okay, now.
Let's go. You are closeted. I agree,
but it's also a problematic.
We'll go there. We'll go there another day.
Mm.
You have my number. Yes. Okay, let's. Now I'm beginning to feel hot. You know what?
This is what heterosexual men do to people.
You know, you're getting excited.
No, but let's talk about some of the messaging around women's sexuality and how that promotes shame. And how that, you know, some of the myths and misconceptions and the messaging that promotes shame. And then we'll quickly look at how do
Madam,
we...
I have one answer.
She was the annoying student in class.
Madam, I have one answer.
Yeah, answer.
Esla, when did you lose your virginity?
Lose it to who?
Lose it to who? When was it a
child that I asked?
How old, like... lose, was it, who made it a gift that I like, I don't get that particular,
who did you give it
that,
to?
That whole thing bothers me, like as if the first, yeah. I guess that sex is not, I mean it could be casual, mm-hmm. it could be like a serious committed thing,
yeah,
but the idea that a man doing it, it's okay, it's like they can do 15
men, something that you women. Gave
but women, like, so why, when did they ask men, when did you lose your virginity?
Right? Oh,
so,
Different standards.
Obviously, different standards.
Misogyny.
A lot of women were robbed. So, already, it's problematic that the virginity is put on such a... It's just a frigging hymen. Some people have old women,
some don't even have a hymen.
Okay.
I like how we all said that in unison. Let's say it again.
Some people don't have a hymen.
It's ridiculous.
You were born without a hymen, some of us.
Okay, so let's say it's some Jew somewhere that you have to protect or whatever nonsense family they say.
Mm-hmm.
You work and leave your family generational wealth, this virginity. Okay, protect it. So since it's Jews that we're protecting, a lot of they've put so much value on it that a lot of men take pride in taking that thing.
Yep.
And that one thing is responsible for a lot of the CSAs. Because...
What is CSAs?
Child sexual assault.
Thank you.
Because these idiots...
Pedophiles.
Call them what they are.
That is responsible for a lot of the child marriages. The way you see virginity. You might think that, It's a religion, it's a moral thing. But that narrative you're spreading is affecting a 9-year-old somewhere who's forced to marry because they're afraid that if she's not a virgin before she gets to 15, she wouldn't have anybody to marry.
Let me slip in that one of the explanations they gave was that, you know, they have to do that ceremony at that age. So every man knows she's for him. So it's not like he's going to be sleeping, like, with her now.
A suitcase or a house that he owns. I don't get.
How are you laying claim to the virginity of a child?
To a fully functional, fully autonomous human being. It's not even... Let's forget the fact that she's a child. She's a human being. She's not a dog.
Right. And that's how and they rid women of our humanity so they can abuse us or objectify us. If you are not seen as a human, if you're only seen as a commodity, if you're only seen as a thing that exists for their pleasure,
they have to reduce
you to that level.
With a particular purpose to fulfill.
Yes, that's exactly. So once they're able to reduce you to that level, then they can do whatever they want to do. But Chichi, please continue.
Can we also talk about the fact that men only, they attach the level of respect for you to your, how, I don't know how to put this, whether or not you express yourself sexually. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. They feel like, excuse me, first of all, your value as, I always say this, your value as a woman is not attached to your vagina.
No.
There's no string. If someone sewed it, cut it. Come to me, I have shears.
Come to me.
I have shears.
If it was done with metal, that's a good one. We would break, we would saw it.
Because
whatever we need to do.
Because your value as a human being has to be in your character, your intellect, your skill. Do you understand? Your personality, your principles, your morals.
Yeah.
That is what gives you value, not your vagina.
It's your vagina.
When have you ever heard that a man's value is attached to his penis?
Never.
Because
and those men that have been everywhere.
The men that you people respect are the ones with the gutter dicks.
Oh my God.
Let's be very
they've
honest.
They've been everywhere.
Everywhere, in everything. And male, is it men, animals.
Even animals, yeah. They will do even animals.
Everything, trees, food, salt.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Mentally challenged iguanas, women. Mentally challenged women who need help.
Dogs go after them. Sheep. But like, for some reason,
we still respect
they
them.
They still have a certain level of respect in society. And I'm not speaking to the men because women who purport this narrative.
Yeah.
Like, stand in the mirror and look at yourself and tell me that apart from your vagina, what's the difference between you and the man standing next, any man in proximity to you? What's the difference? Apart from the fact that his sexual organ is an outie and yours is an innie. What's the difference? You're probably smarter. Scientifically, you are smarter. You're more analytical.
More emotionally intelligent.
It's like you've got an agenda.
No, it is a thing.
Yeah.
So again, like I said, like I'm just going to say this to round up, right? We are as much sexual beings as men are.
Let me add, see, the clitoris has 10,280
nerve endings. Actually, 381.
10,381.
Oh my God.
Nerve endings.
How many does the penis men, have?
The penis has about half of that.
Yeah. Like 6,000 something.
So listen, you are more prone to pleasure than men are.
Mm-hmm.
You experience pleasure on a higher level than men are. You see that thing.
You have
where
more stamina than men.
Have you seen yourself when you are ovulating?
Insatiable.
Do you think men are funnier
you, but I am
that? Like you just cross your leg and whoosh. Your kidney just
ticks. Girl.
That's how naturally, biologically sexual you are. Like
women
are so naturally sexual, and that is why society does everything possible to bury this in us, to shame it. Actually, the word is shame, because if they can't shame you into expressing it, then I mean, how are you going to allow men to run away?
The thing you said about the clits made me kai agenda B.
This is going to be a long day.
Right. So you know,
producer, if you don't time these women, you're going to be here till the
So you know, you
five minutes.
You know, we're told growing up that the place has like over 8,000 everything. Yes. So my work is in SRHR, so this is literally my job, and then I have to do it. And I find out that, do you know how they got that number before?
Animals.
They studied cow clitorises. Cow.
Yeah.
Cattle. They took a fucking cow, counted the cow's clit nerves, and said women have the same number. Like they don't give, like, do you get how strong that
almost
it is?
Everything, like, including menstruation. They like, use animals
with women's sexual health. They don't care enough to even study the woman. They're studying fucking cows.
Yeah.
Everything.
Like fucking cows.
Everything.
So it's like
the ones that studied women, they were
and
killing them.
Even the study that found out that, you know what, women have more nerve endings in their clits began by them testing, I think, trans women. So they didn't even begin with like trans men are women. So like that's beside the point. Yeah. Because like, and it has to be in this century, in this decade.
Yeah.
So like men's sexual health and stuff has gone in leaps and bounds. I mean, they still don't have no contraceptives. They say they cannot do it. We know they are.
No, they have an experimental one,
but still. Once I cannot go and buy it in a store for some nigga that someone is fucking, it's not there. And then, like, men's sexual health has developed in leaps and bounds and shit. And then we are still in an age where they can't fully explain endometriosis to you. When, like, most women have endometriosis.
I do.
They cannot explain, like, fibroids and things to you, where like plenty people have it, like you get
in the house because
they are studying fucking cows,
yeah,
and relating it to women. Like, who did we wrong?
Because they don't see us as human.
No,
I was reading an article by New York Times last month, and it's talked about how even periods as we know it now, how menstruation happens, and it's all the knowledge we have was based on animals. See? So now a group of doctors, female doctors, women doctors, are now looking into it, and there is this whole discussion. That would take us
but
forever.
I'm not surprised, because women weren't allowed up until not too long ago to be able to have an education.
Yeah,
of course. They weren't allowed in research spaces.
Yeah.
They said, one excuse they give is that women, there are too many variables when they are studying us because of estrogen, like too many things change, mm. which is why they only use men, because it's one thing, A to Z.
Allow the women to study.
We don't have the money to give the grants to us to
be. We only give
it to men.
No, because they give it to men.
Okay, see, like I was saying, if we keep going, we are going to be here till.
Oh, no.
But, you know, so just like wrapping up on some of the myths and misconceptions and messaging around shaming women's sexuality, like we've spoken about the virginity thing.
Yeah.
We've spoken about how we dress, how they will call you a shower if you dress a certain way, how they want to know your body count, because why have you slept with...
Let me give it a hold.
How have you slept with this man? You know, your body count, you know, matters. And so, yeah, that's a way of shaming you into limiting the expression of your sexuality. They are constantly telling us, you know, about how we should be virgins. I've mentioned that how you are too sexually expressive.
Don't be
hypersexual. See, the prophet says hypersexual.
Kachi.
Hypersexual, no fancy yabazi.
I think we also need to talk about like mental health illnesses and women, because hypersexuality disorder is a thing that is excused in men, but is vilified in women. But it's the same illness.
Loud it.
How much time loud do you have
it? We don't. Allow us, like, we will not leave. But you know, all that said, let's get to how we can rise above this shame, because that's the entire point of this conversation. We have to leave here educating. We have to leave here giving solutions. I don't know which of you to start with. How do we rise above this shame?
First of all, you're fucked if you do. You're fucked if you don't.
Do it.
Do what makes you happy. But there's one thing that I realized recently, as much as there's sexual liberation, you have to be careful.
Right.
You get it. A lot of the times when we have these conversations, people misconstrue it as we're telling you to be promiscuous as a woman. First of all, being a heterosexual woman is a ghetto. This is like the third time I've said it, right? Yeah. So you know that not every man deserves to be inside of you. Some of you, some people learned that earlier, some people learned it the hard way. I mean, it's the thing.
You still learned it, that's the point.
There was still a learning.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful with yourself.
Tell them to stop doing it for the plot.
Thank you. Stop doing it for the plot. What she said. You have to be careful with your sexuality. Doesn't mean that you should inhibit yourself. You can own your sexuality without being as irresponsible with it as men are. If we're going to do it, let's do it better.
Yeah.
Do you understand? If we're going to own the sexual, if we're going to take back the power that has been taken away from our vaginas, let's do it responsibly.
Mm.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
I'm beginning with my tip I said I had.
Please do begin.
If anyone asks you what's your body count, it's one and the person is dead.
That's the grave.
Oh no, honey, I'll ask you yours and I'll multiply it by 7 and then watch you run away.
Anyway, so what I want to add is, first of all, be comfortable, because I don't know if this makes sense with saying the word vagina. That's where it begins from. Because a lot of the time there's a lot of shame around naming your body parts. Like, why can you say hand? You can say leg, you can say mitiemia, you can say michekekami.
Right.
It's a body part. Right. And so the shame starts from you. You can't refer to your body as what it is. Mm-hmm. And so don't think of the lofty goals. I want to be able to get up one day and go to the club and pick up a guy. Yes, it's a thing. But before you can do that, she wants to call your vagina a vagina. So like, be comfortable with your body, with yourself, with when you are fully in touch with you, nobody can fuck with you because you and you are buddy buddies. Like, you get. So be comfortable with calling your body what it is. I have a vagina. I have breasts. Yeah, I think. And then work from there. It's not, it doesn't happen overnight. Because like everything we, every, from our childhood till we are adults, they keep telling you that being a sexual woman is shameful. And it takes a lot of work to unlearn that. Knowing that this is what has been done to me doesn't mean that it has been undone. You have to work to undo it. And it begins with calling a vagina a fucking vagina. Once you start that, like, once you get to the point where you can name your body, you can look at your body in the mirror and like, this is me. You can talk to yourself about your body. You begin to get comfortable enough that you can start sharing with other people who deserve it because you know, like, who you are. You won't give some 2 second nigga with a big ego in it because, like, it's not your class. You get. So the point is, call your vagina a vagina and go from there.
A vagina is a vagina. Chi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you say what you want to say.
Okay. So you know this, maybe you might not know. I have a mission with my feminism is reconditioning the future generation. Right? Conditioning them the right way so they don't have to grow up and have to do all the unlearning that we have had to do.
Yeah.
It's stress. I won't wish to all my words.
Painstaking.
So in order to be able to raise your children better, I always say that the only reason why I'm a feminist is so my child doesn't have to be a feminist, doesn't have a reason to be a feminist. So that your child doesn't have a reason to be a feminist. You need to be able to learn these things so you can raise your daughters and your sons better.
Yeah.
You can raise your sons to value women, to value girls, to see them as individuals. Raise your daughters to value themselves. Raise them to be able to love their bodies, their vaginas. When they say vagina, don't bit them. Like, don't tell them to call it something else like Ursula said. It's a word. It's in a dictionary. It's not a dirty word. It's a vagina. Pussy is a dirty word.
Cunt is a dirty
word. Cunt is a dirty word. Vagina isn't. Teach your sons to understand.
Can we say coochie?
Coochie is like
it's slang.
For you to
be able to get the slang, you need to be able to say the actual word.
Yeah,
you get it. The reason why they can't say it is because our vagina is something that is shameful.
Yeah, it's been demonized.
I was on Clubhouse and then I used to say this thing like, I own you with my full chest and my fat vagina, and it's gonna go.
Oh my god.
And I'm a fat woman, but my vagina is fat, man. So, what are you saying?
Shoot me.
Right? Like, it's not shameful, but the thing is that you need to, you're not raising your children to be promiscuous. You're raising them to actually place value on themselves, their entire bodies. You're raising your sons to place value on women. Also place value on their penises so they don't become reckless phalangers like the men that you don't want your daughters to be in proximity to or to deal with, because every man has a problem with everything we say until we're talking about their daughter dating men like them.
Yeah.
So in order to get that, make sure that you raise men in a society that your daughters have the good men that you want them to be with, and then raise your daughters to love themselves in its entirety.
Thank you, Chi. Thank you. I will just wrap up by saying that I would repeat what Chichi said earlier. Your value does not reside in your vagina. Never let anyone put currency on you based on what you've done or not done with your vagina. Secondly, you are naturally, biologically, a sexual being. You're more sexual than men. You are designed to be more sexual than men. Don't let anyone shame you into hiding your sexuality. If you're having sex, do it happily and confidently. If you feel like wearing short skirts, wear short skirts. Don't feel like if I wear short skirts, somebody's going to think I'm a shower, so I'm not going to wear. It is not the
shower. I mean, what's wrong with being a shower?
Yes, like
I'm a shower, I
fully. Yes, exist freely and powerfully in your sexuality. If you are somebody who likes, if you're a woman who likes to talk about sex, talk about sex. If you are freaky in the sheet, show him the freaky the first day. If he runs, he runs.
He's gone. I mean, he has fed you the drama and trauma.
Exist freely and powerfully in your sexuality. Understand that you are a sexual being and you have the right to exist in that. I'm going to say again that the clitoris has 81 nerve endings. When you cross your legs and your coochie tickles, let it tickle. That's your reminder that you're a sexual being and you ought to live as such. Thank you so much for sticking with us today. Like I said, it was going to be saucy and it has been saucy. And we are very happy and appreciative of the fact that you spent time with us. I hope you let your hair down and you saved on your beverage. And
if you don't have hair.
And you know, if you don't have hair, sip on your beverage. And I'm counting on you to have done that. Yes. Whatever you can let down, relax. We are at the end, so I'm hoping you did that and you really enjoyed this conversation. My name has been Abena Benewa. I've been here with
Chichi
and
Ursula.
And we'll come again sometime soon, hopefully in 2 weeks, to bring you another very unhinged, educative, spicy, saucy feminist discussion. Till then, follow us on our socials, interact with us on the other room,
wow.
GCR really other room on Instagram. wherever you're listening to us from, please come here again in 2 weeks to listen to us and, get interactive with us and join our community, our very, very unhinged, fabulous community. It's bye for now.
Peace.
Peace out.